the Gospel of John chapter 20, and I already know that next year, because of Friday and all the men speaking, I already know next year I will not be preaching both services. So, you know,
amen.
God has sent us men of God here, and I'm going to use them. Amen. This is not my church. This is God's church and the people's church, and I thank God for all of you. Let's all stand if we can. We're going to go through the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20. We're going to read the resurrection story. We're going to read 18 verses of St. John, chapter 20. Anybody have a pew Bible? What page that is on in a pew Bible, if you have it, and have you found it? 1523. Thank you, Anthony. Anthony's on the ball. Amen. 1523 in a few Bibles. Amen. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and say unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. The sepulchre is a tomb. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus lay. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father God, for rising from the dead. Thank you, Father God, for coming down to this crazy world, walking among the people for 33 and a half years, and then allowing them to crucify you, allowing them to bury you in a tomb. But Father God, you rose on the third day. Not with some power, but with all power. And Father God, we ask right now that you would just share that resurrection power with us today as we join in the house of God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I read 18 verses, but we're going to pick up at verse number 11. We're going to pick up at verse number 11. And this is Mary's. She's back at the tomb. She's come back. She went away and told the disciples what was going on. And now she has come back. But she's not leaving this time. The others went back, but Mary's not leaving this time. And there's some really great lessons in this lesson. We talked this morning about some lessons that we learned from the women at the tomb. We learned their obedience. We learned that they were courageous and fearless. We also learned that they stood for God. They didn't care about the tomb being sealed. They had a faith that very few of us will ever experience. They walked toward that tomb knowing they didn't have the power to move it, but they kept walking toward it, knowing that God would move it. I just believe that. Well, we see in verse 11 today, and again, we're going to talk this morning. You know, Claire's sort of set it off. She's always in my business. And, you know, we talk and I don't call her on Saturday because she tries to find out what I'm preaching on. But the tears of ministry. How ironic, huh? The tears of ministry. The tears involved in ministry when you're trying to reach lost souls. When you open your home up to folks that you don't know, they may come in and steal from you or soil your furniture or just you don't know. But there's a cost to ministry. There's a cost to ministry. If we're going to reach a lost world, it's going to cost us something. And I'm not talking about inviting someone over. I remember a men's group, and they would go out and they would try to reach lost, you know, young men, and they would take them to McDonald's and spend a half an hour with them. It's going to take more than a half an hour. Amen. It's going to take more than a half an hour. Invite somebody, a young person, into your home and let them see how a woman of God lives. Let them see how a man of God takes care of his home and takes care of his family and how he prepares himself for his daily duties. And let them see that for a couple of months. Mary was that kind of person. Mary was at the tomb, and one word sticks out as we go through a couple of points here. It says Mary stood. Right off the rip, as you read the word of God, right off the back, you ought to see that. And Mary stood. Standing is, in a sense, saying that I'm not moving until I get an answer. Jesus, you said that we were going to rise again, and you're not here. So where are you? I'm not leaving here till you show up. I just see that in the scripture. It says that in verse number 10, it says the disciples went away again unto their own home. But verse number 11 says, and Mary stood. She needed an answer. She needed an answer. Once she came to realize that Jesus Christ had risen, she said, well, where are you at? Where are you at? That word stood, again, it's symbolic for faithfulness and loyalty. Her devotion, her commitment, she needed an answer. I looked at it, that word stood a couple times in the scriptures. It says in Mark 11, remember when Jesus told the disciples that they would go out and be a donkey, unloose them and bring them to me. When they went to get that donkey and they went to where Jesus said it would be, and it was, it says, and certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do you loosen this donkey or this colt? Those owners wanted an answer. They wanted a response. And when they said, the Lord needs it, they let the donkey go. They let the donkey go. In Mark 10:49, blind Bartimaeus was on the side of the road. And he was begging. And he called out, Jesus, Son of David, the Messiah. And when Jesus heard that, the Bible says he stood. He stood and called blind Bartimaeus to him. Pilate, when he was finding no fault in Jesus, there was no way he was. And Matthew 27 says, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus stand and said, and Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. There was no fear in Jesus. Amen. He stood. He was who he said he was. Mary stood in anticipation. She stood in hope. We talked a little bit about that this morning. But as she stood, look at the word of God here in verse number 11. It says, Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Now we know the scriptures always, we use them all the time. In Psalms, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. What that scripture is basically saying, there's nothing wrong with weeping. There's nothing wrong with weeping. What's wrong with weeping is being consumed in your weeping. Or while you're in your weeping, you're not looking for a way out of your weeping. You're not looking for the Lord while you're weeping. While you're going through. And you will go through. Some of us in here right now are going through. Some of us are going through. My foster family are going through. They're going through. Some of you in here are going through. Right now you have things on your plate that you don't know how you're going to deal with. But Mary says something peculiar here. Watch this now. Something that the scripture brings out that we must get some understanding here. It says, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Now watch this. As she wept. Now that's interesting. Because there's nothing wrong with weeping. You're going to go through. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the problem with weeping is not looking for God in your situation. It says Mary, as she wept in verse number 11. Watch this. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Her weeping didn't stop her from seeking God. Her weeping didn't stop her from seeking God. And while she was weeping, while she was going through, while she was in this adverse situation, she was still doing what? Searching and looking for God. Why are you in your mess? Oh, listen, folks. Somebody used to say back in the day, I think it was Les Brown, he was a motivational speaker. By any no means am I saying that I'm a motivational speaker, but the Bible ought to motivate you. But Les Brown had this saying. He said, you either in trouble, heading for trouble, or just getting out of trouble. You're there today. Whether you know it or not. And if you think you got it all together right now, you're probably in that third phase. And enjoy it. Enjoy that coming out. Enjoy that coming out. But Mary, as she wept, she stooped. That word means she was bending down. She was looking. She was moving. She was looking for the Savior. She was looking for the Savior. She was looking for the Savior. And we need to try to find Jesus in our situations. Amen. In our trials and our tribulations. And that's just part of life, folks. My mother used to say this all the time, and some of us who have wise mothers, my mother was a wise woman, and she used to tell me this, and I don't know if she was thinking about the Wheel of Fortune or that other show where you'd say, come on down, but she used to say, everybody gets a turn at the wheel. Okay? It's going to fall on your number sooner or later. Whether you're 90 or 75 or 25, when it's spinning around, it's going to land on you one day. And it's good to know Jesus prior to that number landing on you. It's good to know Jesus. It's good to know the Word of God. It's good to know the Word of God, because Paul says in Romans 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? It is the power of God unto salvation. Sometimes you need the power of God in your life just to get you through. Just to get you through some things, you need God's power flowing through you in a supernatural way. I heard a young man say there was some type of force that he was dealing with today coming in here. It ought to be like that. For the people of God, it ought to be like that on the way here, on the drive here. While you're in the shower, you ought to feel that force. You ought to feel that desire that I want to be in God's house. I want to be where the Word of God is being preached. I want to be with God's people. This is why we have breakfasts and fellowships and that, because I just believe the true worshiper wants to be in God's house, wants to be around God's people, wants to fellowship. I won't stop doing that as your pastor. Listen, Mary is talking about these great tears of ministry. Listen, she was in fine class. She was in a fine class. Listen, there's some great weepers in the Word of God. There's some great criers in the Word of God. But why was Mary weeping? Let's look at a couple reasons why Mary was weeping. One of the reasons Mary was weeping, because we talked about it a little bit this morning in Matthew 6 and 16 and 9. It says, now Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, and he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Seven devils. Seven is a number of perfection, but it's also a number of infinity. We don't know how many demons was in Mary, but we know there was at least seven. But I say this. Learn this about your testimony. Some of you folks that aren't maybe church folks, because they have tried to stand you up in front of people and try to get you to testify. And a lot of folks just want to know all your business. A lot of folks want to know all your business. I've heard some testimonies that I said, man, you shouldn't be saying that. You don't need to be saying that. Well, I was with 100 women and I was with 100 men. You know, that's too much. Keep it short. You know, keep it short. Okay? Just say, look, I was delivered. I had some demons. And I say this right now, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, there's two possessions. You're either possessed by the Lord or you're possessed by the demons. So there ain't no middle room. There ain't no wiggle room. You're not straddling the fence. You don't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You have both feet in the world. Or you have both feet in the church. You're not straddling no fence. You're not straddling the fence. You either in or you out. There ain't no gray areas in Christianity. Well, right now I'm not going to church anywhere. No, right now you're serving the devil. Well, right now I don't have a church home. Well, yes you do. It's probably Bedside Baptist. Pastor Sheets and Sister Pillow. I don't know. Why was Mary weeping? Because to whom much is given, much is required. Luke 12:48. I'm not making that up. That's biblical. That's biblical. And you know what? Much was done for Mary. And if you hear, and oh, how I love Jesus. And God has been good to me. Well, you're going to show God how good he is to you by how you worship. By how you worship. Well, you know what? Well, all the churches, they just trying to get your money and they just try. Listen. God don't need your money.
Amen.
God needs your worship.
Yeah.
The Word of God said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. God requires your praises. And if you're in the right church, you'll understand how a church operates, and you'll have no problem once you truly saved and supporting the church financially. Supporting the church financially, not the pastor. The church's responsibility is not to support the pastor. Okay, that's enough of that. Why was Mary crying? See, the closer we cleave to Jesus, the closer we walk with Jesus, the more we understand how vital ministry is. And that's why I like Dave and Jake and these guys that are really close to me, and they have a heart and a desire to see souls saved. And when they hear foolish preaching and they hear these preachers preaching false doctrines and false teaching, it burns them. It upsets them, and it should, because these guys have a worldwide audience and they're not preaching the truth. Amen. See, the Word of God sets you free.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this great class of criers that Mary found herself in. I really thought this was interesting when I got to this part of the text. Mary, although she was weeping, she was searching. And the great weepers of this world are weeping because of their desire to do ministry. And some of you know really where I'm going with some of these folks. I'm just gonna name a couple. But right off the bat, I think about Hannah. I think about Hannah. Hannah wanted a child so bad. Okay, but she didn't want a child to be the next D. Wade, you know. She didn't want a child to be the next number one draft pick in the football lottery or whatever. She wanted a child to raise them up in the church and to serve God. She wanted a child because she understood the lack of leadership in the church. Hophni and Phinehas was ruined in the church. When we look around our city, we see a lot of need for strong, young men of God. We don't know. I look at these young men in here, these young boys in here. I'm talking to 3, 4, 5, 6-year-olds. You don't know what you have on your hands. You need to bring them in the house of God and let them sit under the Word of God. Let them get comfortable in God's house. Let them start reading the Scriptures. Let them start singing in the choir. Let them be a junior usher. Let them hit on them drums and play on these pianos and different things. You don't know. Get them serving the Lord early. Because I'm going to tell you something. They're going to serve somebody. They're going to serve somebody. And I know we have some visitors in here. And I have to say this because I've spent 22 years plus working in a correctional facility, a prison. And I see these young boys come in and they come in 17, 18. And they doing 40 to life. And they tell me, you know, my grandmother used to take me to church and different things like that. Well, I didn't have choices. Came to church. Bring them up in church. I just don't believe in a man of God, a Christian that's an usher, and I've seen it, you know, getting killed in a gunfight, selling drugs, but ushering in the church. Bring your children to church. Read the Word of God with them. But more important than that, model the Word of God to them. Show them how a man lives. Show them how a woman lives. So they can grow up. Great weepers. Sometimes I go off on little tangents. Great weepers. Hannah was a great weeper. She was weeping so hard that Eli thought she was drunk. She had to check Eli. Somebody had to. Hannah did. Look, I'm not drunk. I'm praying to the Lord. I want to have a child to set the kingdom straight. And she did have a child named him Samuel. And Samuel became one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. Oh, we ought to pray greatness on our children. We got greatness in this room right now. There's some great children in here. We don't know who the next great preacher will come out of this room. Amen. Put your hand up. That's a great desire. You just don't know. Could be Billy Graham sitting over there. You don't know. You don't know. Watch what he says. We talk about Hannah. Look at Nehemiah. Great, one of the great criers in the Bible. But crying wasn't just for weakness. Remember Nehemiah? He came to Jerusalem. He had the Word of God. He had a hammer in one hand and a sword in another. Nehemiah was a warrior. See, warriors weep. Warriors cry. But look at Nehemiah after he heard from his brothers who had came back from Jerusalem and gave him the report that the walls of Jerusalem were ruined. They were in shambles. And Nehemiah was the cupbearer. Listen, you don't get to be the king's cupbearer by being soft. Oh, you're the king's cupbearer. You're a bad man. You might be the baddest man in the land. Nehemiah was a bad man. But we heard about the walls of Jerusalem. This is what he says. And it came to pass when I heard these words. Heard what? When I heard the condition of the church. Oh, this ought to stir somebody up today. When we look at the condition of the church. He heard the condition of the church. Look what he says in verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 4. It came to pass when I heard these things that I sat down and I wept and I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah was a great crier. You know what? He got through. He got through because when he got done with the king, when he got done fasting and praying, the king gave him everything. Everything he asked for and more. And gave him a full army escort to Jerusalem.
Yes. Amen.
Nehemiah was a great crier, but also he was a great warrior. Not a warrior, not only a warrior fight, but a warrior in prayer. How many know prayer is hard work? Prayer is hard work. Prayer is sacrificial work. Here's Joseph. I love Joseph. Joseph was a great crier. Listen. Joseph in Genesis 42. Joseph, when he found out that his brothers had came, they were starving in the land. There was a great famine in the land, and his brothers came looking for corn. They recognized, Joseph recognized them. They didn't recognize him. Joseph was part of God's plan. Joseph had 11 brothers, I believe. I'm just going to name a few, but one of them ought to stick out to you, because if Joseph wasn't in the place that he was, they probably would have perished. And you know what? God's plan will never perish. God's plan will never perish. Look at Joseph's brother's name. Watch when I say the fourth one, because if Joseph wasn't thrown in that hole, sometimes you gotta take advantage of the holes that God will put you in sometimes. See, some of us, we don't want no adversity. We want smooth sailing. We want to live our best life now. Listen, you ain't living your best life now. So stop thinking that. Put the book down. You're not going to live your best life now. You're going to live your worst life now, because it has to get better. I don't care how good you got it.
All right.
I don't care how good you got it. Sometimes God will put you in a hole. Some of us been in a hole. I told a story about the donkey that fell in a hole. And the owner loved the donkey. Fell in a deep pit. Deep pit. Some of y'all in a deep pit. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what the donkey did. And we got a lesson out of this. The donkey, when he fell in the pit, they said, how are we going to get that donkey out? He fell in a water well. So I don't know. So the one owner, wise owner, came over and said, I got it. So he take a shovel of dirt, threw it on that donkey. And every time that dirt hit that donkey, he's shaking it off. And he kept throwing that dirt in there. That donkey kept shaking it off. And then that donkey was rising up. You know, he was shaking off the dirt. And they threw the last pile in. And the donkey shook it off and stepped out of the well. Let me tell you something. Some of y'all ain't shaking it off. Some of y'all ain't shaking it off. And you're just getting consumed. And you're just getting consumed. And you're getting buried in your misery and buried in situations. Shake that dirt off. And keep on stepping. Keep that dirt off of you. Keep that dirt off of you. Listen, we're talking about Genesis. We're talking about Joseph. And Joseph, he had these 11 brothers. Listen to the name of the fourth one, because Joseph had to be where he was at. He had to go in that well. He had to go in prison. Potiphar's wife had to. Joseph never complained. You read Genesis. Joseph never complained. You never find him complaining. He told the cupbearer and the baker, he told him, well, when you get to the king, don't forget me. They both forgot him. One got his head cut off, I believe it was the baker. And the other one, when he got into a pickle, he remembered him. But watch this. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. Oh Lord, where did our Lord come? He came out of the tribe of Judah. He came out of the tribe of Judah. So Joseph had to be in place. And when Joseph seen his brothers, he knew God's plan was still in force. He wasn't crying like we cry. These were tears of joy. These were tears of joy. And listen to Joseph. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard
heard. And I see that word heard. They understood what he was crying for. They understood what he was crying for. God's plan included Joseph and his brothers. I'm talking about the tears of ministry. Ministry takes tears. When I say that, I see it. When I see them young brothers come to prison, I look at my own, and I wonder what the future holds for them. I look at them every time I see the young brothers. I go to high school football game. I see the young brothers, and I wonder what's going on, where they're gonna be. Reports say one out of every 16 black young men goes to prison. No. Got my numbers right. 1 out of every 16 black men die from being murdered. 1 out of 16. You know the number for whites? 1 out of every 350. Something wrong with them numbers. Listen, that ought to cause you to weep. That ought to pain you. And many of us in here, all of us in here, I can say all of us in here. There's not one of us in here that hasn't been affected by murder. Not one person in here can say that they haven't went to the funeral of a young man. Joseph cried. And they heard him. Let me give you another great crier. I love these great criers. But I'm going to say the greatest one for last. How about Hezekiah? Oh, y'all know about Hezekiah in Isaiah 1:38. And it says, in those days Hezekiah was sick unto death. He didn't have a son. He didn't have no one to come up behind him. This is what caused a lot of his pain. He wasn't so much worried about dying, but he didn't have anyone to follow in his footsteps. You young fathers out here, you got a young man, they follow in your footsteps. They walking right behind you. Amen. This is what he says. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto Hezekiah, thus say the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Amen. Now these weren't the prophets that you find in Youngstown. These were real prophets. Amen. These weren't false prophets. These were real prophets. And when they spoke, what they spoke came true. Amen. And Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, now watch this. These are the tears of ministry. This is a man that God will ask him years to. Some of us, we praying that to help our loved ones, give them a break and get them out of the hospital. For what? Somebody answer that. For what? You praying for some knucklehead that's going to get out of the hospital and go back to acting a fool. I know that's a little bit strong. But you know, I sometimes, why would you come to the house of God to pray for your loved one who don't care about the things of God? Go to Cleveland Brown Stadium or go to Heinz Field and ask the owner of Heinz Field to pray for your loved ones. That's his God. Oh. Go to the racetrack and ask the owner of the racetrack to pray. Listen, somebody to come to your racetrack and spend all their money here is sick. You need to pray for them. Ask them. Oh, y'all get quiet. Hezekiah. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. L-O-R, all caps, Jehovah. The God that he served. The God that he was familiar with. The God that he knew. Listen what he said. Now we have to be able to say this about our loved ones now.
Alright.
Listen now.
Yeah.
You want some extra years? You ain't doing nothing for the Lord, why should he give it to you?
Right.
You ain't serving God, why should he give you some extra years?
Amen.
Seriously, I know that sounds harsh. That's probably in your face a little bit too much, you know. This Easter, I should really water it down. Preach about the Easter bunny. Listen. And he said, Hezekiah talked to the Lord. Now you gotta have this kind of relationship with him. Check yourself. It's available. He said, remember now. Remember we talked about this morning. It's good to have a great memory. God had a great memory. And you know what? Hezekiah knew it. Hezekiah knew God had a great memory. He was on omniscient. He knew everything. He said, Lord, remember now, O Lord, I beg you, I beseech you, how I have walked before thee, how in truth and with a perfect spirit. Perfect don't mean all, he had it all together. He's not saying that. But what he said, I did the best I could. I did the best I could. I served you with a true heart. Listen, and I have done that which is good in the sight, in thy sight. And Hezekiah, here's our word, wept sore. He wept sore to his throat was sore. His eyes were sore. He wanted to continue serving God. He wanted to continue serving the Lord. Listen, we talk about these great weepers. Mary was in a great class. I know sometimes I watch a little highlights or something. Jay Leno's retiring and everybody crying and stuff. And you've got the Hall of Fame game coming up. And these guys, you know, they get their little bust and put it in the museum. And they all crying. Or you hear a great guy retire from playing sports. And he's crying. Why? Because he loved that thing. But the greatest crier of all, the greatest warrior of all was Jesus Christ. And John 11:35, the word of God says, in the short, one of the shortest verses in the Bible, Jesus, what? He wept over Lazarus. He wept over because he seen Mary and Martha hurting. There's nothing wrong with weeping. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. But it don't come for everybody. Some folks still struggling with bereavement, still struggling with loss because they don't understand how to weep. They don't understand when you're weeping, you're seeking God in your situation. And some folks, just like that donkey in the well, just let it keep piling on. And see, Satan loves folks that let the dirt just hang on them. Because he's that kind of God, little G. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you're not going to put up a fight, you're going to get destroyed in this world. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're going to get destroyed in this world. I buried my sister-in-law last week. She was a warrior. She was a fighter. She had that cancer, and she battled that thing to the end. We got some warriors in here. Sister Pinky and Teddy. Battling. Fighting. Fighting. Not so much just to get healthy, but to come back and get back to serving and worshiping God. God's going to answer those prayers. I just know it. Listen. I'm just looking at some of this stuff. So anyway, this dude got a lot of papers up there. There ain't a whole lot on them. I'm almost done. Listen. Verse 13. I just went straight down. I'm going to look at verse 13 of this text. And we see Mary again. And we've talked about why Mary wept. But Mary loved the Lord. Verse 13 really kind of sums it up. Why she was crying. And they say unto her, woman, the angels are talking to her. You know, Mary, you don't see Mary falling and being scared of these angels. You look through the Word of God, and just about every angel visitation there was fear. Mm-hmm. Mary Magdalene didn't have any fear. She was talking to these angels. She was talking to these angels. She was holding a conversation. But they asked her, woman, why weepest thou? We want to know about Mary weeping. Listen, folks that have lost the Lord, folks that are seeking the Lord ought to seek Him weeping. You ought to seek the Lord weeping. Look at, why weepest thou, Mary? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord. Let me tell you something. There's too much silliness in the lives of folks that don't know the Lord. It really bothers me. It ought to bother every saint. When you see your loved ones who don't know the Lord living like there ain't no hell. Mary wanted the Lord. She wanted to know where He was at. And it says in verse 14, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Now, watch this. She getting ready to rip this gardener a new one. She wasn't playing. This wasn't no place thing to Mary. Mary was serious about finding the Lord. And y'all say, Pastor, you didn't read too much into the text. I'm not reading a whole lot into the text. I believe the Word of God is just gentle. I wish I could have wrote some of it. Look, watch this. Look at verse 15. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she supposed him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne or taken him, hence tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Some serious stuff there. That's some serious stuff there. Mary wasn't playing. We shouldn't be neither. Somebody here needs to know where the Lord is at. Where's the Lord at? Where's the Lord at? In my mess, in my situation. Where's the Lord at? Are you searching? Are you seeking the Lord? My folks, looking around here, see a lot of folks I don't know. And my heart goes out to you. And I want to know if you know the Lord. I always say, if you die tonight, where are you going to go? I say, there's two heavens. There's two heavens. You got to make sure you're going to the right one. Because everybody talking about heaven ain't going. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I have a scripture I'm going to close with. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. Verse number 10. It's worth studying. You're going to go through. Get to the other side. I say, my brother's wife, 40 years old. She's 40 years old. She was a superstar. Played basketball for Tulane University. Played in the WNBA. Tulane University, all-time leading scorer. Had master's degrees. Head coach of one of the biggest schools in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. 40 years old. She found out she had cancer 4 years ago. Ain't nothing wrong with finding out you had cancer. Let me tell you something. I believe the fact that she found out she had cancer is her ticket to heaven. I think the most dangerous person is the person that's in good health all their life. Don't complain if you got a situation that needs constant prayer. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Deacon Rose will tell you. That's a blessing to have a situation that constantly needs prayer. Paul had one. Yeah. Paul had one. Paul went to the Lord. He said, I went to the Lord 3 times about my situation. And then the Lord said to Paul, stop coming to me with that mess. That's yours. You're going to have that. I'm giving you that to keep you humble. Because if I take that away, you probably just take off. You know what Paul said? I didn't go to him no more. He said, I left that thing. So don't worry if you got a situation. Long as you battling, you got that warfare going, that's a healthy thing.
Amen.
See, the unhealthy thing is the person that don't have a warfare.
Amen.
They're seeing it just taking control. They just doing whatever sin tell them to do. Look what Peter says in 1 Peter 5:10. I'm going to close. He said, but the God of all grace.
Yes.
Say that again.
Yes.
But the God of all grace. Mm-hmm. Listen, folks, if you're not saved and you ain't here today, this is Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works.
Yes.
Lest any man should boast. Listen. You need the grace of God to be saved. And how do you get it? Peter says here, but the God of all grace, who have called us unto His eternal glory. How? By Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. That's the gift. After, I like this part here, because I know, I look around, I know, I just know. Everybody here going through. I'm not. Yes, you are. The fact that you think you're not is evidence that you are. Because the word of God said, let a man take heed of himself.
Yeah.
And lest he fall. So the one in here that's got, think they got it together the most, is probably the one in the most trouble. Because you're the furthest from God. When you comb your hair, you see God. When you cash your check, you see God. You're your own God. But the God of grace, I'm going to finish, who have called us unto his eternal glory. How? By Christ Jesus. After that ye have suffered a while. After you have suffered a while. Make you perfect. Make you perfect. Established. Strengthen. And settle you. How about that? How about that? After you suffered a while. Somebody said, well, I've been suffering a long time. Well, go to the word of God. Because there's some folks who suffered. There was a man at the Bethesda that was suffered 38 years. There's a woman who has been over for how long? 18 years. Word of God is full of folks that struggled and suffered.
Amen.
Read Hebrews 11, that great chapter on faith. Listen to this story, and I'm closing. Listen to this story. It said a family lost 3 children to diphtheria. I hope I said that right. In the same week, only a 3-year-old girl escaped the disease. On the following Easter morning, the father, the mother, and the child attended church. Because the father was the Sunday school superintendent. He led the session when all the classes met together. And as he read the Easter message from the Bible, many were weeping. But the father and the mother remained calm and serene. When the Sunday school was over, a 15-year-old boy was walking home with his father. This is what he said to his father. The superintendent and his wife must really believe the Easter story, said the boy. The father answered, all Christians do. The little boy responded, not the way they do, replied the young man, not the way they do. How do you this morning respond to the Easter story? To the Easter story. How have you responded this morning to the Easter story? Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the people of God that you